negotiation apparently in its final stages. We expected something by the end of August, and now it's rumoured by the end of September for a temporary 2-year extension to First Group. Clearly, First Group is a canny commercial operator in these circumstances and knows how to take things right to the line, and I think that's what's going on at the moment. But from a user perspective and from the perspective of the business community in the Southwest, the real problem is that all the goodies that might have come with a long-term franchise extension have been very largely lost, so that plans to introduce new services, plans to improve service quality, all that sort of thing, which was on the agenda before, is now being pushed to one side.
So everybody's sitting on their hands because they don't really know what's happening. In a sense, you can't blame First Group for that. There's uncertainty around their business.
No, I think the real blame must go, unfortunately, to civil servants in the Department for Transport who got their sums wrong in the first place. One of the real concerns is that the Great Western Main Line that serves as the backbone for us in the southwest is also the backbone for the Thames Valley services. And as we know, the Thames Valley is the powerhouse of the UK's economy. We're seeing an enormous amount of work going on that main line, particularly in the Thames Valley, Crossrail, the electrification of the Great Western Main Line itself, the introduction of new trains, entirely new signalling, the rebuilding of Reading, all that, and we're really looking at a decade of disruption. Now, what we've been saying is it makes sense not really to have a 15-year franchise, as the government had previously proposed, or indeed a 2- or 3-year franchise. What we really need to do is get the works done, get a really strong management team in while that work is done, because disruption is the thing that rail users hate most of all. And then once the work is done, about 2017-18, let a spanking new franchise to a competitive market and get the very best deal we can for passengers.
And of course, there's a downside to that electrification work, isn't there? Those beyond its reach, I gather you believe, may be penalised by, I think you've called it, a drastic reduction in connectivity with London. What do you mean by that and why?
Well, one of the problems is that electrified trains like to run electrified lines, and diesel trains aren't really very welcome on electrified lines because they accelerate more slowly. They require really running under wires when the power might come off the wires much more economically effectively. And what we're going to find is that while services are stepped up to Bristol and South Wales, taking more of the very scarce paths, the opportunities, the slots available for, on which trains run, for which trains can run, the people in the non-electrified routes going down, for example, to Exeter and Plymouth or going up to North Gloucestershire and so on, will find that the number of slots available for their trains through the Thames Valley is constrained, at best frozen at present levels, perhaps even reduced. And when you've got the enormous growth in demand for seats on trains that is taking place in the southwest, and it is one of the fastest growth areas in the country at the moment, you're going to find very quickly that those on the non-electrified services suffer very badly indeed. And so we're in danger of having a two-tier economy in the southwest. Those in the north who benefit from the modern electrified services going through to Bristol and South Wales, those in the far southwest and in the northwest of the region, up at Gloucester and Cheltenham, who may find they lose out quite badly.
So we may actually find that they get a worse service, a less reliable, slower service, and of course, no prospect of prices being reduced to compensate.
Well, I think the prices situation is a separate one. That is a political judgment, but I think that touches on something else of real concern. My argument has been for some time that when we had a Labour government, Labour didn't regard the southwest as particularly relevant to its heartlands. Now we have a coalition government. Because the southwest is so much coalition country, we rather get taken for granted. So we seem to lose both ways. I think it's very different if you're living in Manchester or Leeds or the northern cities, which are very capable lobbyists on their behalf. We haven't really managed to match that in the southwest. Partly, I fear, because the southwest people are, frankly, for their own good, rather too nice. They don't like having political rows.
So we should shout a bit louder.
We must shout louder. We must learn to work together as well, because that's been the other southwest weakness. Whereas in the north, one hears about the Northern Hub, great plans for a renaissance of public transport, railways, buses, all the rest of it, roads in the north. We in the southwest tend to fall into the trap of thinking just in our own local transport areas. Very hard to think beyond the boundaries. So even in the more advanced parts, like the west of England, where people people are beginning to work together slowly. Once they get beyond the immediate periphery of the West of England boundary, once they get into, let's say, West Wiltshire, which is in many ways a dormitory for Bristol and Bath and so on, they somehow lose interest. They forget that that's part of it. We really do lack that collective voice that would enable us as a South West to have a real influence on national policy.
Would it help then if we had a kind of a regional transport undertaking of some kind?
I think we certainly need a regional transport strategy. I think that as money is increasingly devolved to local authorities, as we become more and more aware of the interdependence between the economies of one city and the economies of another conurbation, then we need to find ways of working together much more effectively. I know it may not be very popular to say this in political circles, but there is no doubt that the old South West Regional Assembly and the South West Regional Development Agency began to move in that direction and began to be quite effective in securing what we're getting now. For example, I do not believe that there would have been the early electrification of the Great Western Main Line that we have now had it not been for the combined authority of the Welsh Assembly Government, which was clearly very effective, but also of the South West RDA and the Regional Assembly in pressing the case for electrification over a number of years at the highest levels.
So we may have thrown the baby out with the bathwater in unravelling that bureaucracy. We've lost some advantages.
My fear is that while the LEPs may be able to do quite a lot, they won't quite have the clout of the regional voice. They're smaller, they don't have the skill base available to them, and they certainly don't have the resources potentially available to the region when acting as one.